The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're joined by Arthur Cummings, consultant ophthalmic surgeon and medical director at the Wellington Eye Clinic at the Beacon. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you want to talk to me about something I'd never heard this term before, oculomics.
So, Pat, I'm so pleased. You know, I regard you as the person with probably the broadest general knowledge I've ever met. And I thought to myself, because this might be one of our last sessions with your segment changing, is what have you not heard about yet? I only heard this phrase 6 months ago. A colleague in the US contacted me and asked me if I knew what it was. I said, no, I don't, but I'll take a stab. It's probably related to the economics of vision correction and eye health. And he said, good guess, but no. So oculonomics is something you and I have spoken about before, but in a different way. We've often said that the eye is the window to the soul and the window to your general health. But what that meant was we would look in the back of your eye and we'd see a small little hemorrhage or a small exudatum and say, well, you have diabetes or you have blood pressure problems. And that was it. We could only tell you where things were at that point in time. And many diabetics don't have changes in the eye. You know, okay. They come after time. Oculomics is the study of not just the image of the back of the eye, but an OCT that can see microstructures and the vasculature and the relationships between arteries and veins and the thickness of the different nerve fiber layers. And now the use of AI has got to the point where it's in fact become predictive. And right now, there's a cardiologist in the US who's very well known called Eric Topol. He calls it machine eyes. He's got the ability to increase his accuracy of predictability of heart disease by 10 to 25% when he adds this to his, you know, invasive technologies looking at the heart. So what's happening in ophthalmology now, this new term, is showing that you can diagnose things like dementia 10 years before the first symptom, or heart disease or stroke 10 years before they occur. And people don't want to know that necessarily, but if you do know there's a warning for something coming 10 years down the line, you've got time to modify your lifestyle. So it's a fascinating field.
What kind of machinery do you need to be able to do all of this work?
That's a super question. So it's a machine that currently is in everyone's clinic. Almost every ophthalmologist has this device, and today many optometric optometrists have it too. It's called an OCT. So it's non-invasive. Image of the back of your eye takes 5 minutes, and the AI interpretation of it is within a minute.
Okay.
So it's phenomenal. So the value isn't only just what we find on the day, and it can give you a sort of a score sheet for the day, but it's doing this on a serial basis, like people see dentists every year, and then seeing the trend of, hang on a second, this nerve fiber layer is getting thinner. This is leading to, this might be dementia in the future. So it's very interesting. I think 5 years from now, it'll be a very, very solid space.
Okay, but you're not going to be telling people you're going to have a stroke or you're going to have a heart attack or you're going to get dementia. You're not telling people definitively that.
No. It's additive. It's part of the spectrum, but a very non-invasive way with a lot of information. And the trend, though, the trend that you see from visit to visit is where the value is going to lie.
All right, the questions are flooding in. My eye consultant said my capillaries in the eyes are absolutely clear of deposits, yet my GP insists I take statins as I have high cholesterol, as does my mum. So it's probably hereditary.
Yeah, so this is a beautiful segue into this very topic of oculomics. So what you're seeing in the retina is exactly what the vasculature is doing in the retina, the arteries and veins in the retina. And even though they're going to be a good representation of what's happening in the entire body, you can still have the retinal vessels looking clear while there's a plaque in the coronary arteries. So if there's a family history, if your cholesterol is high and your GP advisor is using a statin, I think that's exactly the right thing to do.
I have a question for the expert. I am male, age 54. I've been wearing glasses since my mid-20s. At my last routine checkup, the optician said there was a thinning of the optic nerve, so they recommended a visual field test to check for glaucoma, etc., which was arranged for the following week. The results for that were good enough. They said no further tests needed. The thinning was there 2 years ago also, and I went to the eye specialist. He was happy enough. No recommendations for anything to be done. My vision seems good enough to me once I wear my glasses in the normal way. My father had a detached retina in his late 50s. Should I be happy enough overall, or should I get further investigations? That's from Donal in Dublin 14.
Right, Donal, all very good questions. And I think the first thing is some reassurance for you. So the optic nerve in the back of the eye has, on average, about 1.2 million nerve fibers. And if you have a big nerve, there's more space, and then there's more what we call cupping. There's a space within the nerve, and that can often give people the idea that there's pathology, but in fact, it's just anatomical size. So the fact that you've had a visual field, you've been reassured twice, suggests there's no need for any further examinations right now. But what you've heard from the oculonomics talk or segment is that serial visits are what are important. So what I would do if I were you is simply in 2 years' time, go and see the same optician again who did the visual field, have the visual field repeated, and an OCT of the back of your eye, and you'll know exactly where you are.
Okay. I'm on Humira for psoriatic arthritis, but the skin was clear and tested negative, but positive for RH. I have blepharitis flakes on my eyes with clear, crisp flakes which stick between my eyelashes and rims. I get styes with lash follicles emitting butter-like oil when I heat with compressors thrice daily. My eyelids and rims are so red, itchy, I spend 2 hours daily cleaning. I had eczema as a teenager. Ophthalmologists say it's dry eye and just hygiene maintenance is what is required. What can I do as I become a neurotic recluse, unable to socialize? I use a magnifying mirror, reading glasses, a table lamp, tweezers, warm compresses, microwave mask, just to see and to clean my eyes.
Oh my word, I really empathize with this person. And I'd like to help as much as I can. Yeah. In fact, what I'm going to ask them to do is maybe contact the clinic on inquiries at wellingtoneyeclinic.com, and I'd love to send them a real specific way of what to do. But the bottom line here is this is not just blepharitis, not by a long shot. So this is more a dermatological condition, psoriasis, that's involving the skin of the eyelid. And the very last thing you want to do for psoriasis is continuously pick at the skin. So the first piece of advice I'm going to give you is to stop picking at the skin multiple times a day. All you can do is gently, in the course of a day, once a day, just gently with a cotton wool swab, wipe the eyes. There's specific creams and things, and that's why I don't want to mention them online, on the radio, because they're specific, that you can use. I think it also uses things like sprays that you can use without actually attaching or if
the idea is you can do the spray without having to touch the eye at all.
And irritate the skin, exactly. Yeah. So what's happening here is this is a vicious cycle where, in fact, the maintenance therapy is making it worse. Mm. So every time you hurt the skin, you get this
reaction,
recovery reaction, exactly. So there's lots that can be done. It's going to be 6 to 12 weeks to get you improved, but there's no question this can be improved. But also in the meantime, maybe just hook up with a dermatologist who can start addressing the psoriasis too, specifically on the skin around the eyes.
Can you ask Arthur how long it takes for a blocked tear duct to resolve itself? Mine blocked since June.
So the only time a tear duct, which is what's draining the tears away into the back of your nose, resolves is when you're an infant. So all children are born with blocked tear ducts, and they open up spontaneously in the first 6 to 12 months. But for an adult, it's not going to spontaneously unblock. So it needs to be dilated and syringed. And it sounds awful, but it's not. It's just a little instrument that dilates the opening, and then with a syringe with salt water, it's just washed through. And if it washes through well by unblocking whatever the blockage was, then it's normally done. Sometimes it doesn't wash through, and then you know there's a more significant obstruction, and then an ophthalmic specialist who deal with this and who know a lot about this and can deal with it very effectively.
My 15-year-old son suffers constant dry eye and itchiness. He thinks it's a cat allergy without contact with the cat, just being around the family who are in contact with them. I feel, though, it could be something else.
It could be something else. So if there's itching involved, it's often an allergy. If there's a whitish discharge, it's often an allergy. One of the best things about allergies is you don't always have to treat them. The best thing to do is to avoid whatever the allergen is. So your son needs to figure out somehow if there is really a reaction to the cat. When he's away on holiday or with friends, he's having the same issue. There are also amazing allergists around the country today who can do batteries of like 200 tests to see exactly what you might be allergic to. But you can't really address the allergen until you know what the cause is.
Paul asks, I have a slight lazy eye all my life. Can it be sorted out as it bothers me terribly?
100% it can, Paul, if you and I understand lazy eye in the same terms. So people often would describe an eye that's slightly turned in as lazy, but that's basically just a squint. And then a squint can be addressed. There are also adult strabismologists today that do that very, very effectively. Lazy eye really means that the one eye doesn't have the same connection from the eye to the brain is what the dominant one does. So for argument's sake, let's call the dominant eye's connection a 5G connection. The connection on the lazy eye might be a 3G or a less of a connection. And that today, irrespective of your age, can be addressed with Binox dicoptic therapy. So there are dicoptic digital therapies you can do online, normally half an hour a day over 6 weeks, that can improve this.
Now, Declan's been on. He says, please, on my behalf, thank Arthur for the life-changing lens replacement operations he did in September. Really going to help me keep the old man out, says Declan. So there you are. A compliment. I got laser eye surgery done in 2008. About 2 years ago, I needed to get glasses for long-distance driving, TV, etc. Is it possible to get laser eye surgery done again?
It is possible to get laser eye surgery done again. But if the change has occurred now, a long time after your initial surgery, it's almost 20 years, it sounds like, and at age 58, it's far more likely now to be lens-based. So, you know, the lens inside the eye never stops growing. And so people often think that laser wears off at some point, but the laser doesn't. The shape change that the laser brings about in your cornea is there lifelong. The changes occur because of your lens. So if the lens is starting to change now, the best treatment is, in fact, the lens replacement.
Arthur, I have red eyelids in the morning and before bed. They get sticky and sandy. I regularly use a hot face cloth that relieves it and makes my eyes feel clean again. But is there a treatment to get rid of it completely? Could eye strain be a contributory factor? I've recently started wearing glasses as well.
All right, so quite a few things going on that suggest you might inadvertently, without knowing, rub your eyes on occasion, and that's perpetuating this infection. It sounds like it's an infection. Whenever someone speaks about something being sticky, it's normally an infection. So have that checked out. Get onto an antibiotic drop. The same spray that I spoke about earlier, there are sprays you can buy at the pharmacy that you spray on your closed eyelids that keep the whole area sterile in a very safe and gentle way.
My husband has noticed a quick flash of light on the left side of the eye. Lasts only for a second. Should we investigate?
No, at this point you don't need to. It's a warning sign that the gel inside the eye is coming loose. And the gel inside the eye coming loose is completely, completely normal. Depending on your prescription, your glasses prescription, if you're short-sighted, the risk is slightly higher. If you're long-sighted, the risk is almost negligible. But there's a chance that as the jelly comes loose, it may cause a little tear in the retina and cause a retinal detachment. And that manifests as a black curtain in your field of vision. So just look out for that. If you suddenly start seeing floaters, new floaters, or a black curtain, call someone the same day.
Now, a final one, and it's a comment really. My eyesight was deteriorating before my heart attack and then normalized after the event. I'd had my eyes checked and was prescribed reading glasses, but I didn't need them. My eyesight was normal. That's from a North Wexford listener.
Well, I just thank my lucky stars. I can't tell you exactly what happened, but someone was on your side.
Okay. Arthur Cummings, consultant ophthalmic surgeon and medical director at the Wellington Clinic at the Beacon. Arthur, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.